Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast,
where we dive into all things digital automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakara. While I'm not podcasting, I help people keep up with the fast-changing digital technologies at botnirvana.org. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Our guest today is Manish Balal. Manish is a pioneer in digital automation with over a decade of experience, which includes a significant tenure at Automation Anywhere. Is currently leading go-to-market and partnerships for QBusiness at Amazon Web Services. In this chat, we discuss real-world automation examples and challenges with both intelligent automation and agentic technologies. Let's listen in. Hi, Manish. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's awesome having you here today. Can we start with a quick intro about yourself?
Hey, Nandan, thanks a lot for inviting me. Truly appreciate it. As I was telling you that we are a big fan of the memes that you post, and it's being very educational and at the same time, very informative. So yeah, I'm currently working at Amazon as a GTM lead for QBusiness. Prior to that, I've worked with quite a few large GSIs. And then I also had a stint with a couple of startups. Been in the automation space for about 10 years. Probably more than 10 years. Also had a stint with Automation Anywhere for 3 years. Excited about what this space is now evolving into and thrilled about the discussion that we're going to have. Truly appreciate again for inviting me over.
Great to have you, Manish. And you know, with that vast experience you have, more than a decade of experience. So you've seen this whole evolution, right? I mean, from this, I think pre-RPA days too. So can you walk us through this evolution that you've seen?
So pre-RPA days, right? So I started off my journey with when I started working with Infosys, and Infosys had an offering called AssistEdge. They still do. It was their own proprietary RPA platform. And I used to live in Australia, and there was an opportunity for me to come here and take AssistEdge to market along with our AI offering, Nia. So that was an exciting prospect. But at that time, when you look at the technology that we had, it was primarily around screen scraping and coordinate-based automation. And then it evolved into HTML and DOM controls. But I still remember the first pitch that I made to a healthcare client. They were wowed with even that. So when they saw the bot doing actions on the screen and going into applications and putting data, that was still a wow moment at that time. And they ended up being a large customer of ours. But since then, from 2015 to then 2018, we had the arrival of document processing. Then there was an infusion of some ML services into the whole model. Then low code, no code came into existence. And in the past couple of years, all we are hearing is LLMs. And now everyone wants to talk about agents. So this whole spectrum of automation has been thrilling and exciting. And I'm fortunate enough to see some of the customers start back then, and then now they're on the right to even modernize their automation portfolios. Yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah, it's truly exciting to see how we have evolved, and it's been a growth. And now I think it's accelerating, right? The growth is accelerating. So one thing I wanted to understand from you is, having worked in this whole spectrum, what do you think were the big challenges that you saw your customers face? And also, we'll see how that, hopefully those things can be elevated, can be solved with this new technology. So yeah, what do you think were the challenges?
Yeah, automation, when we started, right, back in 2015 to 2018, 2019 timeframe. So maybe we can split the decade into two parts. So the first 5 years and then the later 5 years. The first 5 years, I think, explaining to the security teams that automation, the bots are not going to go wild and do something cowboyish was hard. Getting them to adopt that whole automation mindset was hard. But I was fortunate enough to work with few clients who were thinking big and they wanted to make their programs big. That worked out in our favor, and they were able to automate quite a few processes. But then another thing that was that, and which probably still is the fragility of the whole automation. It's so hard to automate. The applications didn't really, some of the applications were not amenable for automation. And we struggled big time with unstructured data. So any document of any sorts, reading that document was really hard. We tried to automate those use cases, but they consumed a lot of time. And then another big factor was management of infrastructure, as you might have seen too. I'm also probably guilty as charged, telling customers that this is going to solve all the problems, but the devil was in details, right? When we automated the processes and they started maintaining it became progressively difficult. There were always changes in the business processes, changes in the whole tech ecosystem that they were operating in, the maintenance of the virtual machines, their infrastructure. It was a lot of complexity. And I feel with the advancements in technology now and where we are and the stuff that I'm getting to work on, we are trying to attack some of those challenges, the fragility challenge with the agentic technology, the infrastructure challenge. Being a cloud firm, we potentially are looking at how to integrate that whole stack. So there are some of these advancements in technology. And of course, the attitude of customers have also changed. But then change management and governance and the education and adoption, there's still the challenges that I think we need to educate our customers on, and customers also need to put some weight on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And you started with security as a big challenge. I'll never forget the days presenting to the security teams at big enterprise companies, and they would just not give us the approval to put in the bots because they would ask questions like, what if these things trigger by itself and start working on its own? How are you going to manage it? So it was so hard to hard to convince these people. And at many places, honestly, Manish, I did not get approvals. They just dragged on it, and they were so afraid to lose their job that they never did it. So one thing I wanted to check with you is, so how has that changed? I mean, would that change with agentic? I think that's becoming even more worse in an agentic world and an AI world.
No, absolutely. So I think we had probably crossed that barrier with RPA to some extent in the past few years. And the paradigm was all rule-based. But now the challenges are different. And some of these challenges, we are also trying to understand how to advise our customers on aspects about responsible AI. The auditability and traceability is now different. There are questions about, are we using our customers' data to train the models? So those are the things, right, that are really challenging. And we are also trying to see what best we can do within the whole infrastructure that we have and the ecosystem that we have. So those challenges, I think, will still remain, and we need to find a way through that. But the way sometimes we think, our agentic behavior is great. You can let the agent run wild, but is there a way for us to regulate that behavior? Can we control that behavior so that it becomes slightly more deterministic than what it would do and still deliver the outcome that we need? So those are the things that we are looking at seriously. You must have seen the demo of Operator, which was like amazing. But then when it comes to taking that up and deploying it in enterprise, it's a completely different ball game. It require guardrails and auditability and governance around it. So we are focusing a lot more on that too.
Okay, yeah, no, control of agents is what is the key thing, especially I think as we start this implementation in the enterprises. What is the answer to that control? If you ask the RPA companies, they would say it's RPA. If you ask BPM companies like Pega, they'll say it's Pega. So what do you think is the solution to that?
So I think the solution is more nuanced than just a blanket solution that you deploy everywhere. I feel that there are processes that you need. You first need to look at the process that you are trying to automate. If the process demands agentic behavior and you can allow the agent to be truly agentic, for the lack of a better term, go ahead and let it be. But at the same time, if the process is deterministic and you are actually dealing with financial data or healthcare data or you are operating in a regulated industry and you want the behavior of the agent to be more deterministic, you of course need to have an ability to tailor that. So do you have controls to in the system as well as in the organization and implementation to do that is the question that we are trying to answer. And I feel that is very important. Sometimes in some processes, if you try to control the agent behavior when there is no need to, you should not, because that's the power of the agent technology. But I think there is a balance and the sweet spot that we need to hit.
Yeah, and all depends on the use case, right? Like you say, if you basically need some dynamic decisioning is when you want to bring in agents at all. That otherwise, our tried and trusted RPA, BPA, iPaaS solutions are pretty good because they've been tried, tested. In fact, many of these technologies are already working in financial firms, which has like highest security requirements. So maybe they're still continue with those technologies and introduce LLMs only when required, right? When there is a dynamic decisioning.
That is true. And I think some of our customers are also looking at that kind of an approach. I feel that there is a, now I look at the agentic technology as what Tesla did to the auto industry, right? You are still probably reaching the same place,
Right.
but it's a much cleaner way to operate and do things, which then later potentially can pave the path for more advancements, which is not possible with legacy technology. And that is what I think we'll see over the next couple of years.
Yeah. And so you see, you said customers are applying that. So what do you see customers applying agentic right now for?
So there are customers who are primarily looking at use cases where they want to get an answer from the knowledge base that they have,
Right.
and they are using maybe a conversational interface to get answers to the question and update certain data in certain systems of record. So that is a very common agentic use case. But then after the UI agents are also coming out, and there are some enterprise use cases which were not possible to deal with using RPA, where the targets are dynamic. So I've seen a use case where there is a customer, they are looking at going into multiple portals, web portals, to get certain information for their competitors. And the number of competitors can run into hundreds and thousands, and they want that data to be refreshed on a periodic basis. Now, with RPA, it is impossible to do this. You can't really write rules to access multiple web pages or hundreds of portals. And you can theoretically implement this process with agentic technology in minutes than 6 months. So those are the things that we are seeing, and more interesting use cases will come up as this gets more advanced. And we are still learning. I know you published the repository of agentic use cases, which was very interesting. Folks like you are evangelizing and bringing up more use cases. So I'm sure customers will get inspired to do more with this.
Yeah, and I think there is multiple technologies coming in, right? Like you mentioned, Operator. And I know Amazon has got the resources from Adept, and you guys are working on such technologies. So it's interesting to see how that technology evolves in the sense that there is RPA. And like you mentioned, there are use cases where RPA may not fly because you cannot keep on writing rule-based automation for screens in some scenarios. And maybe as we go and find these scenarios, we'll say that, yeah, AI is so capable now that we can let it do certain things, as long as it's probably not mission critical, or if you don't have any security problems and things like that. So where do you see that technology going? The operator computer use technology, it's very interesting, but seems like more of a consumer thing at this point of time. But I think you guys are at that forefront where with, especially with this Adept technologies, you can take it to the enterprises. Adept has taken it, had taken it to some enterprises. So where do you think that is evolving, that
I mean,
technology?
I can give you my personal opinion on this. I feel that while the whole agentic technology is exploding, ultimately you need tools, and
Yes.
tools are applications to which you need to connect, because without that, an agent can't function. But that connectivity is always a problem. There are, whatever advances we have made, there are so many applications that still don't expose APIs.
Yes.
Even if APIs are exposed, consuming those APIs is harder. Of course, there are advancements in the coding technology and all that is happening. But the easiest way to interface with an application is through a UI. And I believe that these agents, if they're embedded in a workflow, can create wonders, right? You still don't have to connect through an API, but you can still accomplish the job. And that was the promise of RPA. But challenge with RPA was that you had to anchor on HTML controls and DOM and coordinates. And that became cumbersome as you try to automate more. But in this case, I think the advancements in technology will make it very easy and maybe make more the agentic technology more consumable for customers across enterprise.
Okay. Yeah, no, and I think it's a good thing that we have things like Operator and Computer Use and even Google's Project Mariner, which is an AI RPA, which is good, but because A, it shows that the value of RPA, the concept of RPA, of working through screens. And I think that's mainly because of all the applications are built for people or humans, right? And it's not built for bots or for even software. So that's why APIs was the second, it was secondary. And that's why we interacting with screens is always a great way because that option is open. And now with AI also opening up that option of interacting through screens, I think that's a great development. But I think we'll also more see more push towards bot interfaces in the sense that not even APIs, things APIs, but at bot speed, because the way humans can interact is so slow. And I remember the days like when we were like automating PeopleSoft and it would fail because it's a legacy system. It just couldn't keep up with the bots. And I think we will have more push towards bot tools, like you say. Tools is what is required. And yeah, I think we need more of that. But in the meantime, and in the transitional period, I think we would like need to have solved this problem of UI interaction. So it's a very interesting time. I think RPA is still relevant, and we'll see AI RPA also go come in, and we'll see how both these technologies emerge and work with this whole agentic process automation thing, which is more of like a controlled agents working in enterprises. And everyone is working from their angle, like RPA providers, BPM providers, iPaaS providers. So yeah, everything coming together now. From all this thing that we're discussing and all these developments in automation, what do you think is going to happen, let's say in the near-term perspective? What do you think happen in the next maybe 1 to 3 years?
So I think while the technology is great, ultimately the value is in the business outcomes.
Right.
We'll see more and more players, and because we have a whole ecosystem of customers and partners and ISVs, I believe use cases that are vertical specific will probably be more valuable because
Right.
as we are seeing earlier, there was a lot of talk about solutions being just a wrapper on LLMs. But we are seeing that LLMs themselves are now getting commoditized. So the value, it seems, is actually in the domain contextualization. And we'll see more of that happening as maybe our partners build more value over the stack that we are offering. And I feel there will be a lot of companies who are vertical specific, and maybe they can just create billion-dollar unicorns focusing on certain vertical agents. Who knows? And I see that happening. It has to happen, right? Just like how RPA promised that, but then creating a marketplace on RPA was always hard. That I don't think that really flew. But it is very possible that those things happen with the agentic space. What are you seeing? Are you
Yeah,
seeing something similar?
so that's an interesting question because I just tested a Rossum AI, and then IDP platform. They had reached out to me and they wanted like a small blurb for their article in terms of what do you think will win, generalized agents or specialized agents? And so that's an interesting question because when I took over the RPA practice in Fujitsu, one of the first things I wanted to do was make bots. I wanted bots for finance, and then I wanted an accounting three-way matching bot. And I said, yeah, let's then do that, and then we'll take it to enterprises. But then we learned the hard way, or at least I learned the hard way, that every enterprise is so different that you just cannot take one bot and put it everywhere. The functionality is everywhere. Invoice processing is everywhere. But the way invoice processing bot is different in every place. And so that's why the marketplace did not fly. And I think that the same thing that'll happen to AI agents also. And so that's what I told Rosam also. I think right now we are seeing a lot of generalized agents like Devin AI for coding. It can be used in any company, right? But I think as we progress, the value, as you say, is when we get to this billions of agents in enterprises who are very specialized and working for specific things within the organization. Because every organization has different applications, every role is working through different applications. So I think there will be very specialized agents, and I don't know how we'll enable that. Probably not a bot store because there's no specific, it's not like an Apple App Store, but I think specialized agents is the way to go. But yeah, I think AI agents will be successful when we see such specialized agents emerge. We are seeing some of them like generic customer service agents, generic sales agents, voice-based agents, but I think we will see very specialized agents. So, yeah, having seen now all these automations emerge, and some examples that you can give of, I think you did give, but any examples which is really interesting, which is leading us towards an agentic world?
Yeah, so in a traditional scenario, right, if you look at, say, a credit note processing example, right, where we in the past had to rely on primarily UI automation, there is a way for us now to tap into an agentic ecosystem, tap into maybe a large action model, and how, say, let's take an example, right? So there, if there is a customer who gets a credit note, sorry, who gets an invoice and says, this invoice is for $1,000, but I should have received some volume discount on this. It should have been $400. So what that person does is maybe calls up their account manager or calls up the customer portal or contacts them through a contact center or a phone call. Ultimately, hold the use case, the case lands up with Salesforce or ServiceNow. And then someone has to then look at it, go and check the contract in Ariba or some other portal, download the contract, read it, then go and check maybe whether the customer is paying bills on time. And this is probably a real use case because I've experienced this with some of the electricity provider changing that I had to do. They told me that they are doing all of this. So they check that, they look at whether I've been paying bills on time. Check the customer standing in maybe SAP or some ERP. And then they have to get an approval from the manager, send an email, wait for the approval, and then pass it on to one of their finance ops person who will then issue a credit note. So that credit then reflects in my next bill. So this whole process, right, in RPA, there were multiple challenges. First of all, reading the document was a challenge. If you are not, you have not, of course, invoice processing had some advances, but still reading a multi-page invoice, you are never sure whether it will work. But then think about it. If you are using a combination of a UI agent, you're using combination of some document processing, you are using a combination of a finance agent that you probably have already built that can query your whole finance organization, and you call that agent instead of going into multiple systems and checking, and there are approval workflows, and you tie this all together, right? With some deterministic and some agentic automation, that I think is the holy grail, right? To automate such complex scenarios, which earlier were always hit or miss. You could do that, but then can you do it quickly and can you do it consistently with accuracy with agents and some deterministic technology? So that's the thing where we are. I feel there are advances to be made.
Yeah, but for somebody starting out in automation right now, with your vast experience and now that you're seeing all these developments with agentic AI and generative AI, what would you suggest? How should they start?
I think the learning the basics is more important, right? What I have seen many people lack is an understanding and appreciation of the actual process. Learn all the technology. There are free trainings and Gen AI trainings and whatnot. And you can learn all of that. But try to understand maybe one or two processes, an order to cash process or a procure to pay, and try to get into the details of it. And then try to map what you have learned to those processes. And honestly, when I started off, so I had an opportunity to work with a lot of people and leaders in Infosys BPO when I was, because at that time we were using Infosys BPO as a primary channel. And getting close to the processes, even sitting in contact centers listening to the calls, was a revelation to understand how complex all this landscape is, right? It's not theoretical. So I think that if there is a way for someone to appreciate and understand those processes and how complex they are and how they are operated, they will do better than just learning technology and try to force fit it to whatever they are working on.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And starting with the processes and business outcome is something we tend to forget, especially getting stuck with tools or attracted towards tools. I've had so many people reach out to me. I have UiPath, like 10 bot licenses. I don't know how to use it. Help me use it. And at UiPath, reading their story, how they succeeded was the same path that you said just now. Is Daniel Dines and his team, they actually went to India and they were sitting in the BPOs, understanding these processes and then automating them. But then ultimately, when RPA became more mainstream, it became more hype. And then the way they sold the licenses is by selling bots. They were incentivized to sell bots, so people sold bots. And then every organization had lots more bots than they could use. Yeah, I think that's a great advice. People should basically first start with the process and not with technology or any of these things, whether it's agentic or RPA. I think that's a great note to end this on, Manish. So if people need to reach out to you, what's a good place and how can they reach you?
They can approach me on LinkedIn. Happy to connect with the community. And thank you for, building such a vibrant community. Truly appreciate that. I just want to call out to you. I participated in the podcast in a personal capacity. My opinions don't reflect the opinions of my employers, but happy to help out and connect and, contribute to the community that you built, Nandan. Thanks for having me over.
Yeah. Thank you. And man, I'll put a link to your LinkedIn so that people can contact you there. So Manish, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you're consuming your podcast. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you are there, feel free to explore more free digital automation resources and more. See you next time.